So if you're following along in your bulletin, just so you know, there's an insert that tells about their ministries. And so feel free to reference it or look at it later, too, to just get a better picture of that. But I'm going to briefly introduce, we got Kyle and Petri Groza, and they work in Romania. And the work that they do is through a foundation or organization called Regen. And it's on this concept of regeneration of life and really around the spiritual aspect of that. And they do a lot of different things. They have a holistic approach to ministry where they look to meet practical needs and through practical needs of homework clubs and workshops to teach skills and trainings and all these different elements that they bring to the table. Then they share Jesus' love through that. So welcome up.
Good morning. It's good to be here. This is the first time that Petri and I have come without our girls. We have three girls, Lydia, Miriam, and Sophia. They're 14, 12, and 10, and they're having a blast in Romania with their grandpa, and we have really enjoyed our time here this week without them, but we have to get back because we have to realize we do have responsibilities there.
Good morning. My name is Petri. Just to make sure that you know, I'm Petri, she's Kyle, because sometimes, you know, that gets turned around. We've been with Christ the Rock, supported by Christ the Rock for 16 years, and it's easy for me to remember this 16 years because that's when, if we are in this theme of lost and found, that's where I was lost in Romania, not married, and then my wife came as in a mission trip to Romania from Christ the Rock and found me there. And that's why I know 16 years since we have this relationship with Christ the Rock, and I'm also glad to be here with you this morning.
So, to be honest, we're not a dating service, yeah. So just get that clear. But they did find and actually got married from meeting each other on a mission trip. And then next we have Dave Innerebner, and him and his wife Pam work with a Native American population up near Hayward, Wisconsin. And they work with a people group called Lukutere, and they do discipleship up there. They also have a church called Love and Compassion. And they've seen a lot of really neat things among the youth there right now. So let's welcome Dave.
Yeah, good morning. We've been on the Lukutere since 1991, and Christ the Rock's been a part of that journey the whole time. So we're just grateful to be here and thankful for your partnership and your love and prayers and support all these years. So thank you.
And then lastly, but not least, we have Dick there on the end. And Dick has been a partner with us for about 5 years, and he runs an organization called Riverwind that works at church planting amongst people that have very little access to no access to hear about Jesus in the Amazon in Peru. So that's where Dick's at.
Good morning, Christ the Rock. It's a real privilege to be here with you this morning. I wish I could tell you that Ruth was sitting next to me. But she's not. I told you last week that her mother was very close to death with cancer, and she died the afternoon after that last Sunday service. And so she wanted to send you her greetings, and she did that by sending a text from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And she's speaking of her mother here. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now I've got to tell you what she wrote. Hoy se cumple ocho días que mamá partió a la presencia del Señor y puedo decir que este versículo se hizo real en su vida. And let me tell you what that means in English. Some of you already know. Today marks the eighth day that mom departed in the presence of the Lord, and I can say that this verse became real in her life last Sunday.
All right. So to start this panel off, I wanted to ask Kyle, so this idea of regeneration is so important to the ministry that you do. Can you just share a recent story where you've seen that happen?
Sure. I'd love to share with you about a young girl that we work with. Her name is Andrea. Right now she's 18, but we've known her since she was just a really young little girl. She's always come to our Bible clubs. Now her family, she was born into a very poor family. Her father often struggled finding work. When he had work, he would spend the money on alcohol or gambling. put a lot of pressure on her mom. Her environment was just real toxic at home. I'm sure she was neglected, abused, and just a result of all the trauma that she went through, she grew up with a lot of emotional struggles. And even as a young girl, we saw that. And it wasn't always easy to work with her just because she struggled in so many ways. But as we continued to have a relationship with her, when she got into high school, she, of course, got into some bad friend groups, got into some relationships, and it was really discouraging for us to see that. But towards the end of her high school years, we began to see a little bit of the fruit of the truth that she was told each and every week in her life. And we were able to take her out of her environment and move her into our transition center that we have. And when she was there, she really began to blossom. It was as if the lies that she was believing weren't so strong anymore because she was being discipled. We were able to speak truth over to her. She was able to be in even her conditions improved. She could have warm water, take showers, have good food and stuff. So all of those together just really became an environment for her to grow. And after that, we were able to move her into town. And right now she lives with Carly Sebensfeld, and Carly is from Christ the Rock. I don't know if she's in here right now. Maybe could I have her stand? And is she here? Well, she might be back out at the table. Oh, she's back there waving. There's Carly. So Carly's from Christ the Rock, and she serves with us, and she lives with Andrea. And after moving in with Carly, Andrea just really began to tell us that she wanted to be baptized, and she really could say that she was believing that Christ is her Savior, and she wants to have a relationship with her. And this day was so special. Her parents didn't come. Hardly any of her friends came. Nobody really supported her in this decision except for us and our team, and we were there for her. And it was so exciting to see that moment because she had been lost for so long, and now she was truly found. And I wish I could say that her story isn't like a happy, she lived happily ever after, because she still struggles, and ministering to her is often messy at times, but the truth is there, and we just continue to pray that she wouldn't believe the lies, that she would believe the truth that Christ brings. And we'd ask you to pray for her. And we're just, even 2 days ago, we got a call that she was kind of in crisis. But we just continue to pray for her. You all know that the Christian life is not always easy, even after you make that decision. So we're just so grateful that we can come alongside her and be a light to her.
Thanks for sharing that, Kyle.
Thank you.
And Dave, one of the elements that you just see so clearly in this passage is this idea of the Father's joy that comes through the different stories in different ways. But how have you seen or experienced and tasted joy from seeing a lost person becoming found?
One of our ministries has been a First Nations discipleship training school, and so it was a school for Native people from both the U.S. and Canada. And the majority of our students were actually from remote fly-in villages in Ontario and Manitoba. And so we had staff and students from those areas. And after one of our schools, I was invited to come up to Ebamitung, which is a community in Ontario. And we stayed with some of our staff. And there was a young man in the community. He was a singer, a dancer, a powwow singer. And they're really excited about this young man because he was expressing some interest in the school. And so we made an appointment to get together, and we're at our friend's house, and it's getting 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, midnight. Finally, 1 in the morning, there's a little knock on the door. And this young man walks in. And he sits down, we sit down at the kitchen table, and we start to talk. But the whole time we're talking, he had his eyes closed and his head down. And all he could do was whisper. He never raised his voice above a whisper in an hour. He was so shy and just wasn't sure what he was getting into. And so we talked. Told me he wasn't a believer necessarily in Jesus, but he was interested to see what it was about. And so I invited him to come to our school, because I thought, I just told him, I think this will be a really good thing for you. It'll be a great time for you to at least explore if this is something for you. So months go by, and the school starts, and we start our schools in January. So a few weeks into the school, we were holding our school at a Youth with a Mission campus, just an hour south of the reservation. And one of the staff members there came in, just alarmed, into the lodge and said, have you heard what's going on? I said, no, what's going on? He says, you got to come outside and hear this. So I have no idea what's going on. And so we walk outside the lodge, and as soon as you open the door, it's February, it's cold, it's snowy, like October, and over the trees and throughout the campus from somewhere out in the woods, you hear this young man just playing his hand drum and singing at the top of his lungs because he had found Jesus and Jesus had found him. And so for me, that was a very joyful moment. But for him, it was the joy of his life. He was lost and now he was found. And so talk about joy, not just the powwow singing going on in heaven at that moment, but in all of our hearts, just the joy of someone coming to faith in Jesus.
What an awesome story.
Yeah, thank you.
And Dick, one of the elements in this story is this idea of searching for what is lost. And the way your ministry is set up and you're kind of structured, that is how you go about your business and how you think about it. What does searching for the lost look like for your organization?
I will tell you a little story after inviting you to come to Peru and visit us in the jungle. We work upriver in Peru in the Amazon basin up in the jungle. It's never cold, folks. If you're feeling cold this morning, it's about 95 degrees in the jungle, maybe 100, maybe 105, and very humid. But if you were to come visit us, as five teams from this church have done over the last 5 years, you would get on a plane probably in Chicago and fly to Miami 3 hours more or less. And then you would fly down over Central America and over the Caribbean. You'd fly all the way down to Lima on the west side of the South America, 6 hours. And then you change planes and get in another plane and fly over the Andes Mountains, 22,000 feet altitude. And you drop down into the jungle in Peru, in the capital, in the city of Pucallpa, where we live usually when we're not upriver. And if you're coming down and you're going to go upriver with us, you would get in a boat called a fast boat along with the pigs and the chickens and all the cargo. And you go 18 hours upriver and you come to the district of Tawania, which is tens of thousands of square kilometers with a number of different ethnic groups living there, primarily the Shanika people. We've been working with the Shipibo people, trying to help them in leadership development to become missionaries to other people groups like the Ashanika and their relatives, the Ashaninka. If you can keep all those different sort of tribal ethnic languages separate, everybody has a separate language, a separate culture, and they don't always get along. Sometimes they're in conflict. But the Shipibo are going now outreach to other groups, and one of those people has the name Clever Sanchez. Clever is married to Fermilda. They have three children. He came first as a young man, very to the training center. He wanted to study something about the Bible and learn about the Bible. And during the time we were doing the training, teaching the Bible chronologically from creation through Christ and then the ministry of Jesus, he became a believer. He became a follower of Jesus. And he said, you know, I would like to be baptized. And like Jesus went into the river to be baptized, I would like to be baptized. And so one day we took the team down to the river, and we walked into the water to baptize Clever and a few others. And as we stepped into the water, the heavens literally opened. I mean, the rain came down in buckets, a tropical rainforest rain shower, 4 inches or more in an hour, and it goes for hours. And as we stepped in that river and the rains came down, I thought, you know, I grew up kind of Baptist in my theology, which means I'm going to immerse you under the water, But now the rains are pouring and hitting the surface of the water and soaking us completely. I think I'm becoming a Presbyterian. But Clever was baptized, and then he went through the rest of the training, and we said, Clever, we really want you to take care of the training center upriver here. And so he and his family with three children, they moved upriver from his own village up to where we are working now, and he takes care of the center and is a manager of it. We said, Clever, if you're going to be a pastor in the church here, and you're going to be managing this training center, and you're going to be going out to the villages planting churches, I think what maybe would be good for you is to have a Christian marriage to Fermilda. Because in that culture, one family gets together with another family. They say, okay, our daughter is about 13. It's time for her to get married. Your young man is about 20. He's of age to produce in the farm and get fish out of the river and take care of his family. This is a good time, and they make the family arrangement, but not a Christian wedding. And he said, I want a Christian wedding. And so Fermilda and Clever got married in church. And then they said, well, let's do this with the government as well and do a civil wedding. And so they went to the mayor's office and they got married. And that was the first ever wedding in the district of Tawania. Mm. So God is at work, yeah. And the churches are being planted.
Yeah, it's amazing to not only hear how many churches, you've had multiple churches planted, but to hear the actual stories and the lives being touched. So thanks for sharing that, Dick. And Petri, I'd love to hear from you. What's it been a recent experience where you've seen someone go from being lost to being found?
Yes, I would like to share a story about a young man by the name of Florin. He's 18 right now, and we had the privilege of getting to know him in the spring of this year. He comes from a village about 1 hour and a half from us. Again, his background comes with a lot of trauma. His father was an alcoholic, and actually he still is an alcoholic. I was on the phone with Florin just 2 days ago and asking him how are you, how's your family? And he was sharing that his father still is not well, and he's still an alcoholic and drinks and abuses his wife. And he comes from a family with two sisters also. He has two siblings. He came to our center, and we started becoming his friends. We started sharing the gospel with him. He was in touch prior to coming to our center with the gospel, but we started discipling course with him. We started offering him actually some extra training, and slowly we've realized that he's getting closer and closer to making a decision for Christ. However, making a decision for Christ in Romania is not an easy thing for a young person like him. And I remember that. When I was a young 18 or 17 years old, it was not easy to make a decision for Christ because of the peer pressure, because of your friends, because of the mocking that takes place in a life of a believer when you become a Christian. And in my discussion with Florin, I remember then that there was this struggle. I want to follow Christ. I know I'm lost. I know I need Jesus. But it was hard to make the decision. To make a long story short, we have seen Christ working in his life. And just a month and a half ago, in the beginning of September, he decided to become a believer. And he actually was baptized also. And that was such a joy for us. And I heard Micah saying about that search party. And I felt like sitting down there and listening to him that we were that search party. We were the people, the team that we have there trying to encourage him to make this step, to take this step in his life. And it has been such a joy to see that. And I don't know about you, but I am so passionate to go and search for those that are lost, to take the gospel to them. And just briefly, I remember about a story that kind of puts an image to this. You know, when we were gone with some friends of ours, and we were having, our friends had a baby that was just 6 weeks old, and he was in a stroller, and we were going through a bunch of people on the street, and there were a lot of shops left and right, and all of a sudden, our friends realized that we don't know where the baby was. So we lost the baby. The stroller, not the baby. The stroller and the baby. And we just realized in that moment the urgency of a lost baby. And so I remember even now so vivid, my friend, the dad, the father of that baby, started running. He started just running around to find his baby, his lost baby. The mom also and Kyle, they together started running around and asking people to if they've seen a baby somewhere. I stayed at the base with the rest of the baby children so we don't lose them also. But it was just that it's an image for me of that passion. I am so passionate, and I don't know how you are for the lost. Looking at Florine's life, there was so much joy when I was there at his baptism. And seeing him just in a cold water, because he was out in a river, just seeing him saying yes to Jesus and saying yes, I wanna follow Christ in my life. So I just encourage you also to have this passion in your hearts, and may the Lord help us.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Petri. It's so encouraging. Can we just thank the panelists and for all that they're doing and how they're pursuing the lost?